the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the 12 apostles, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Please be seated. First of all, happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there. And because it's Father's Day, I have chosen to preach on Genesis rather than on the gospel. And you think, no, she really just didn't want to preach on the gospel. I will say this about the gospel. Christ did not come to sow misery and dissent in the world. But because Christ came, there was conflict that developed because obviously he was overthrowing old ways. So hopefully that assures you a little bit about that reading. So in Genesis, we have the story of Abraham and particularly one of his sons, Ishmael, today. And so since it's Father's Day, I thought let's focus on the father of the three great Abrahamic religions. So our story with Abraham and his children starts back in chapter 15. Where God promises Abraham that he will have descendants as numerous as the stars. So this sounds really good, and Abraham and Sarah probably think, how is this going to happen? We're old. This is not going to happen. Well, I don't think they doubted, but they both laughed at one time or another when they heard about this. So time passes, and they still have no child. So Sarah thinks maybe God needs a little bit of help here. So she takes her slave, Hagar, and gives her to Abraham so that he can father a child through her. Understand that that child would be Sarah's child. It would not be Hagar's. Hagar was like a surrogate. And so Hagar does indeed get pregnant. We don't know how she feels about the whole thing. She has no say in it. Doesn't matter what she feels about it because she is a slave. So she does get pregnant and makes the mistake of taunting Sarah, who is still barren. And it's just not smart to taunt the woman who is your mistress if you're a slave. So in the perfect example of triangulation, that thing that none of us are supposed to do, Sarah goes to Abraham and complains. But Abraham does what each one of us is supposed to do if we are somebody's trying to draw us into a conflict, and he says, she's your servant, you take care of it. So Sarah goes back to Hagar. Unfortunately, she's mean, she treats her badly, I guess is how the Bible puts it. I would probably say she's abusive. Whatever she does, it's so bad that Hagar runs away. And Hagar runs into the wilderness, and she finds a stream, and she's there by the stream, and God hears her. An angel of God speaks to her and says, you need to go back. And I can only imagine what Hagar felt at that moment, going back to abuse. Why? That God told her to, and she was obedient to God. And she went back, and in time, she gave birth to a son named Ishmael. And Ishmael is Abraham's oldest son. And still, Sarah hasn't borne any children. So, 3 years, it depends. I'll get to this sort of chronology of the Bible that's a little weird. So some time passes, and then Sarah gets pregnant, and she has her son Isaac, who we talked about before. That's where we pick up today with our Genesis reading. The child grew and was weaned. That means the child is 3 years old now. And they have a big, really joyous celebration because the fact that the child has made it 3 years without dying is kind of a miracle at that time. And so on this happy day, Ishmael is playing with Isaac. And for some reason, this really bothers Sarah when she sees it. Sarah's concern is for her son, and she wants all of Abraham's inheritance to come to her son and not be split with Ishmael. Because, as we see from this reading today and other spaces in before this, Abraham loves Ishmael. They are very close. At one time, Abraham says to God, I wish Ishmael could be part of this promise. And God says, well, he can't, but don't worry, I will make him a great nation also. So Sarah sees this problem with the sharing of the inheritance. And so she goes to Abraham, and her solution is to have Abraham send Hagar and her son Ishmael away. Now, you've got to understand, if Abraham sends a woman and a child into the desert with only a piece of bread and a skin of water, he's basically executing them. They will not make it. They will die. But God comes to Abraham and he says, don't worry, Abraham, I will take care of your son. And so Abraham does what Sarah instructs, and he sends them off to the desert. I want to take a minute to talk about Hagar. She's not some sort of insignificant character in this story. Hagar is an Egyptian slave that Sarah and Abraham probably acquired when they were in Egypt. She is one of three women in the Hebrew Bible that talk to God in person. And she is the only person in the Old Testament that names God, gives God a name. She names him El Roy, which means he who sees, because God saw her in the wilderness. She is also a very, very important figure in Islam, because Islam traces its foundation through Ishmael to Abraham. And Hagar is considered one of the four mothers of Islam, very important person. Now, you might wonder, chapter 21 of Genesis has kind of this odd, weird timeline that doesn't make any sense. According to the way Genesis is written, Ishmael is 17 when this happens. But the language of the story has Hagar putting her child on her shoulder. And it has her laying her child under a bush. And it says, the child grew and God walked with him, which would make you think the child is much younger. Well, this really bothered me. So I went and looked up promises to the two sons. And that took me into how Islam sees this story. And interestingly enough, I gotta say, what Islam's story chronology is makes a whole lot more sense than what's in Genesis. I would like to say, yes, Genesis is our scripture, so that's what we go with. But I want to point this out because I think it's very interesting, and I will never look at the order of this book the same way ever again. Islam believes that the stories regarding the two sons come from two very old sources for the Bible, the E source and the J source. And that these sources were much older than the P source, which is the priestly source. And the priestly source did a lot of redacting and editing of the scriptures when the Jews came back from Babylon about 500 years BC. So Islam says what they did at that time is they changed the order of the stories. So chapter 21 and 22 should come before chapter 17, which would place this story at a time when Ishmael was a child, and it makes a whole lot of sense. But it also makes it so when we have the story of the binding of Isaac, when God tells Abraham to take his son and sacrifice him. God says, take your son, your only son. And so Islam says, at that time, in that order, there's only one son, and it's Ishmael, and it's the binding of Ishmael instead of the binding of Isaac, which I find very interesting. But so that's just why things seem confused in chapter 21. Is he old? Is he young? Who's to say? But what's important is that Hagar takes him out. She keeps him alive as long as she can. She puts him under a bush in the shade. And then she sits down far enough away not to see him die, but close enough to be near him. And she cries out, and she wails, and she is the first person in the Bible to cry. And God hears her. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Which I find to be kind of an odd thing to say to this woman. It's pretty obvious what troubles her. But he says, do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boys, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So she got someone of her own community to come and marry him. So Ishmael has 12 sons, that perfect number of completeness, which matches the sons of Jacob, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is kind of two lines where both sons are children of promise. The difference, the big difference, is that the covenant, God's covenant with Abraham, went through Isaac, and Isaac was promised land. Ishmael was not promised land, nor was he part of the covenant. But that, I think, is where we get one of the first of the three lessons I'm going to point out today, which is there is a chosen group. That God walked with Ishmael all his life, and at the end of Abraham's life, both sons, Ishmael and Isaac, were there to bury him. So today we look around, and sometimes Christians might think, well, we're the people who got it right. Everybody else is wrong. I don't know what's, God's not with them. But God is. God is with everybody else. God is with everybody that God has made. So we need to keep that in our thoughts, especially as wars come about between different religions. When you look back, the origin stories of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have one woman. They're two mothers, two different mothers, and that's how closely related these religions are. So we have more in common, I think, than we have in differences. So just because you think we've got it right doesn't mean that God's not walking with every single other person that is not a Christian too. Next, that whole story of God telling Abraham, go ahead and send her away with the kid, really bothered me until I started thinking about it. At the end, God did take care of them, so God knew he was going to take care of them. And Hagar was no longer a slave. She was free. So it worked for the best for Hagar to leave. And finally, Hagar cried out to God, and God answered. And that is the lesson that is most important for us today. We also had it in our Psalms. It's common in the Psalms. People cry out to God and God hears them. You don't have to walk by yourself through difficult times. Call out to God. God hears you. He will hear you and will be there for you. And while it may look like a nightmare, if you walk through it with God, chances are something else will become your new reality, like Hagar being free. You're not alone. So God wants more than anything to be in relationship with all of us. And relationship requires communication. So when you're happy, give thanks to God. When you're grateful, let God know. And when you're in trouble, cry out to God. God will hear you. And I promise God will be there for you. Amen.